Number one, it's so good to have you folks. I always enjoy church. Every week I love being in church. Something a little more special during the holiday season, being with God's people and God's family during the holidays. I love it. I enjoy it more than anything. It's good to be home during the holiday season. If any of you folks are traveling at all, we'll be praying for you. We'll miss you. Just leave the key. We can go and help ourselves with the refrigerator. That'd be a blessing. But we sure to love you folks. You're a blessing. Visitors, God bless you again. Actually, I did not give a round of applause for our visitors. Let's have a round of applause for our visitors this morning. God bless you, folks. I want to make you folks feel welcome. It's always good when we have visitors in church. All right, let me get into the message if I can this morning. This morning, I'm not going to have a long introduction, kind of a brief one, I guess. I'm going to give you several examples of different situations where we need to be thankful, different examples in the Bible. I felt that this matter of thankfulness is very fitting because we're coming into the Thanksgiving holiday here in a few days, and of course, following the Holy Spirit's leading, obviously God put it on my heart as well to preach on. But I love preaching on this matter of being thankful. Thankfulness will change your spirit. Thankfulness will help your outlook. And I don't want to take away from the message this morning, but I just love the fact we can be thankful. By the way, it's so easy to get our thankfulness to be robbed from us if we're not careful. It really is. So let me just give you a few things this morning. Just give me your thoughts. Give me your heart for a few minutes. I know if you would, take your cell phones, put them and throw them away. If you would, or put them somewhere you don't look at them. Put them on silent, or you can flush them on the toilet if you want. Or just focus on the message here for the next few minutes if you would. That'd be good. And God bless you, folks. Thank you again for being with us this morning. All right, let me give you a few thoughts on this matter of thankfulness or times to be thankful. Number one, a time to be thankful to God would be when He heals you. A time to be thankful to God would be when He heals you. Take your Bible. We're going to be all over the Bible this morning. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 to 16. Luke 17, verses 12 to 16, if you would. A time to be thankful is when He heals you. Luke 17, verses 12 to 16 says this, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 17 of the book of Luke. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, serving Him, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I actually went one verse too long. But again, here are those verses there. Looking at the story, most of you are familiar with the 10 lepers, those 10 men who had leprosy. If you don't know what leprosy is, leprosy was a disease, for the most part, there was no cure for it. If I can compare it to a disease of today where there is no cure, I think of HIV or AIDS, where as far as I know, there is no official cure for it. And in most cases, leprosy was fatal unless God intervened or Jesus Christ intervened and healed people. Leprosy was a horrible disease. Not only did you have a disease where it could destroy your life and kill you, but it also ostracized you from your family. If you had leprosy, you could not be with your family. You couldn't be with your friends. You could not be at your job. Why? Because people feared that you were contagious and they would get it. So they put you in a place called leper colonies. And when you went into the public eye or you were around a whole bunch of other people in a public setting, you had to yell, unclean, unclean. The very humiliating disease. And in Luke 17, verse 16, one of the lepers who was healed came back and he says this, the Bible says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Folks, listen, if you understand during the day that they were living in, there were no paved roads. Most of the roads, they were dirt. They were disgusting in the sense that if you walked on these roads, your feet got dirty. And usually in most cases, the people wore open-toe sandals because of the temperature, the heat, and the time of the history that they were in. And so this man who's a leper, the Bible says, he puts his face down the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, dirty, nasty, gross feet. I'm not trying to be at all unkind to my Savior, but humanly speaking, his feet were dirty. And this man, he fell down on dirty ground and put his face on the dirtiest part of Jesus Christ's body, his feet. Why did he do that? Why did the man go prostrate and go down to the prostrate and go down to the feet of Jesus Christ? Why did he fall down on his face? He didn't care if he got dirty. He didn't care if he was near Jesus Christ's feet. He could care less. He was thankful. Man, he was healed. I don't remember when this was, Miss Patty. I remember it came back to my memory here. But several years ago, I believe you were 90% sure the doctor told you had Crohn's disease. We prayed for you. I remember that. And he prayed for about 2 or 3 months for thinking if she had Crohn's disease. Obviously, you know what Crohn's disease is. It's a very serious disease, very life-changing, could even be fatal in some cases. We prayed for 2 or 3 months, and I remember the day you came in on a Wednesday night saying you didn't have the disease. You didn't have it. I remember that day. Remember Brother Cecil Potter, your heart situation. Remember that? That was in the beginning, brother. And I remember all the whole story there, your heart situation. We were concerned for your heart. We prayed and begged God and asked, and God healed. And of course, I remember you came in, brother. I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal. I'm not trying to put all the glory to this brother, but I remember when he said, praise God. He gave thanks to God. I remember Miss Mary Gertz here on the operating table this past week. We went in to see her. And of course, I was running a little late trying to go within the speed limit, getting down to Blessing Hospital. Amen. I got down there, got in the waiting room, and she was already in the place to go to surgery. And I said, Dorothy, is she in surgery? I said, no, you're fine. And I rushed into the room where she was at. And Miss Mary was so calm. I was not calm. I was flustered. Oh, praise God, I made it on time. And Mary, I prayed with Miss Mary. She was calm. But obviously it was a surgery, putting five stents, into her heart. And of course, we prayed. I sent out a text message out to all you folks. And most of you folks texted me back saying that you were praying. And of course, I got the news that everything was successful. Saw Mary later that day, and she had eaten a humongous lunch. I knew she was doing well. Man, praise God for what he does. Hey, I think of people in this church, how God has healed you. Here's my point I'm trying to make. Hey, praise God when he heals, but don't forget to give thanks to him. Don't forget to thank him. Man, praise the Lord when he heals. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You might say, preacher, listen, how do you mean he heals my disease? I still got this cancer. I still got this disease. I still got that disease. I promise you, friend, if you're saved, one day you're going to be healed. That phrase, bless the Lord, is another way of saying thank you, God. Hey, be sure to thank God when he heals you. You know, it's kind of funny, that story. If you look at verse 17, that story. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Again, I'm not going to go through all leprosy again and what leprosy does, but when you are healed of leprosy, it's not just physically you're healed, but you get your life back. You get to see your wife or your husband, depending on what gender you are. You get to have your job back, your family back. You're back with, you're not alone for Christmas, you're not alone for Thanksgiving, you're back with your family. These 10 men, they got everything back, and one came back. Where are the 9? Look, I'm for our doctors. I praise God for medicine. I'm for it. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing there, but I'm thankful for the medical system we have to help to promote healing. But in the end, the one who's the great physician, the one who does the healing, is God himself. He's the one who heals, my friend. Don't forget to give thanks to him for healing you. And can I say it like this, some of us, depending on our age, we know loved ones who already passed away our age or younger. Make sure you thank him for the health you do have. Don't take it for granted. Because if you lose it, I promise you, you don't know what you have until it's gone. But make sure you praise him and thank him. Like that leper falling down at his feet and praising God and thanking him. So again, be sure to thank God when he heals you. Number two, a time to be thankful to God would be when he delivers you out of trouble. delivers you out of trouble. Go to, if you would, go to the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 9. I'll give you a second to find it. Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 9. It's over there in the Minor Prophets, if that helps you at all. Jonah, chapter 2, you can look in your table of contents, I imagine. Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 9. I'll give you a second to find it. It's right before the book of Micah. I'm not sure that will help you or not. And after the book of Obadiah. Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 9. And of course, here in the story here, Jonah's already in the belly of the whale. He says he's, when he makes his statement. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, he says this. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah, again, he's talking in the belly of the whale. He is there because, you know the story, he ran from God. He was supposed to be going to Nineveh, to that very wicked city, to tell the people to repent before God would send his judgment down and bring judgment on those people. But instead, Jonah, he ran from God. He went the other direction and headed for a place called Tarshish. And of course, most of you know the storm there, throwing the boat they were on. It went back and forth. The men threw things overboard to lighten the ship, hopefully to stop it from sinking. But it was no use. And eventually, as God would have it, the men realized the reason for the storm was because of Jonah. He was the whole reason for that storm. And of course, Jonah tells them what he had done. And eventually, the men were very reluctant, but eventually they agreed to throw him overboard. If any of you folks have ever been in the ocean, especially the ocean where you can't touch the bottom, eventually you're going to get tired. You're going to drown over time. And not to mention a storm would go up and down like crazy. He was done. He was going to die unless God did a miracle. And of course, God sent that whale, which swallowed up Jonah. By the way, that's a true story, my friend. That really happened. And God sent that whale and swallowed up Jonah. And of course, this Jonah was supposed to go for repentance or tell people to repent, but Jonah needed to repent himself. He himself needed forgiveness. And of course, God answered, sent that whale there, and eventually he was delivered, he was helped. And my friend, listen, praise God. But let me say this if I can to you folks. Jonah, he was delivered from a time of trouble. Let me give you an illustration to put in perspective. Any of you parents ever lose a child? Meaning, maybe you go to a big public fair or a place where there's tons of people, hundreds or thousands of people, maybe Chicago or St. Louis, and you're down with a child, and you have a child, and maybe you get distracted, and you maybe take your hand off them for a second, you turn around, and they're gone. You've been there before? You know that panic that goes over you? It scares you to death. I remember a pastor told a story about one time he was at a big fair there, thousands of people, and remember he was with his son. And I remember his son, he had his son next to his side holding his hand, and the pastor had two hot dogs in his hands. He couldn't hold the boy's hand and the hot dogs. His boy, he said, stay next to me. And of course, the pastor, the father, held the hot dogs in his hands, and he's going one way, and the boy saw a clown with balloons. And of course, every young boy likes those clowns, especially those balloons. And that boy, the father goes one way, and the boy goes another. And if most of you dads know, you can kind of get distracted with things. That's the way dads are. I know I was that way myself. And of course, he goes one way, boy goes another. Before you know it, dad turns around and says, "Where's son?" And you know what? You do one of these numbers. You can't, oh God, let it be. You know, you don't move. You keep spinning and spinning. Please let this be a nightmare. Wake up. And of course, he could not find his son anywhere. Praise God, eventually he found his boy. But most of you know the story, or you've been there in situations like that. When you lose one of your children, you're scared to death. We were over there in Chicago when I was working over there in Kankakee. Went to the Cheesecake Factory, had a good time. Hallie was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. She had her American Girl doll in her arms, clutching that. Still does today. No, just kidding. enjoy embarrassing my kids. Praise the Lord. It kind of builds character. But anyway, and I remember she had, we're in the middle of Chicago. The place is just bustling people everywhere. She didn't tell me, she didn't tell Kelly, she didn't tell none of us she was going to the bathroom. And so, of course, I'm going to pay the bill, and I'm up there paying the bill, and Kellyanne's talking with someone, and all of a sudden, one of the kids, I think Caleb, pulls on Mama's skirt and said, "Mama, where's Hadley?" And of course, Mama says, "Dad!" And of course, Kelly runs to me and says, "Honey, where's Hadley?" "I don't know, you're watching her!" And it was panic in that Cheesecake Factory. I'm going through everything. And looking, finally, here comes Hadley, walking back like not a care in the world. Now, of course, where were you? DCF is watching everywhere, you know, type of thing, be careful, you know. And listen, I remember when I found her, praise God. Look, the reason I bring to your attention, you know when you're in a time of trouble, you know the feeling, that desperate, hopeless feeling, and you know when God delivers. When God rescues you from a time of trouble, a situation that you can't get out of. Psalm 30, verse 10 and verse 12 says this. Psalm 30, verse 10 and verse 12. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. In those two verses, he says, be thou my helper. In Psalm 30, verse 10. Then in Psalm 30, verse 12, he says, I will give thanks unto thee forever. A good mode of operation when you're in trouble, my friend, is beg God for help. When Hallie was lost in the bathroom, I was, oh God, please. Where is she? I don't know. And I went outside, everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about losing kids. It could be anything. A time of trouble, you need some help. God, please, would you help me? But look at my friend again. Let me say this again. When you find, when God delivers, when God answers, when God blesses, when God restores, please, please make sure you give thanks to Him, because He is the one who delivers you out of time of trouble. Number three, a time to be thankful to God would be when He desires to spend time with you. A time to be thankful to God would be when He desires to spend time with you. Go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, if you would. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. I'll explain this to you if I can. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 says this, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Folks, you're probably saying, Pastor, I'm not understanding the correlation. Just bear with me, if you would. That gift that God is talking about was His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know why, listen, do you know why God gave mankind the gift of His Son on the cross? Look, you understand, folks, if you are in this room, you are a sinner. And because of our sin, we are separated from a holy and just God. None of us deserve heaven because of our sins. All of us, according to the Bible, deserve hell for it. That's what the Bible says. None of us are worthy to get to heaven. We are all born with a sin nature. But praise God, because of that unspeakable gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And when that blood was shed, that blood was a payment for our sin. And when that blood was shed on Calvary, we understand if we're sinners, if we come to Him in faith and repentance, we ask Him to come in our hearts, realizing we're sinners, understanding that we deserve hell for our sins, and trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we understand not only will you be saved, my friend, we have a relationship with God now. There's a relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And do you understand now, after you get saved, this Bible becomes alive because now you understand it because of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You understand now when your prayers are, when you pray, you're praying to someone who is hearing your prayers and can answer your prayers. You understand you have a walk with God. And you understand, my friend, that same God wants to spend time with you. Desires to spend time with you. He desires that. Listen, He didn't have to send His Son to die on the cross. He could let all of us die and burn in hell. He could have done that. That was His desire. But He chose, listen, He chose to let His only Son die. Listen, Jesus Christ didn't go and give cookies. He died a cruel cross. He died that for so we can have a fellowship with the Father. I am going to heaven only because of the Son, Jesus Christ. No other reason. Nothing to do with me. And I praise God for that. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Folks, God wants to spend time with you. Let me make an application for this. You know, Jesus, our sin, if you would, was a barrier between us and God, okay? Here's the application. We are in the holiday season, a time when families are supposed to spend time together. And yet there are so many barriers within family that the families don't spend time together. There's our pride, because maybe someone said something to somebody 20 years ago, and we don't forgive them, And because of it, you don't spend your holidays with them. There's someone in this room, I'm not going to mention your name, I love him dearly. He told me this. He said, my wife had several sisters. And those sisters would not talk to each other for years. He said, when my wife passed away, he said, that was the first time in years my sisters were together at her funeral because they refused to spend time together. That is sad. Especially for a Christian home. There are so many barriers we have. We have so much pride, and we don't want to talk to someone. We don't want to bother. Or maybe someone had done something wrong in the past. Refused to fellowship with them because of it. Now, I understand there might be some issues going on where you can't stay too long for one reason or another. But goodness, man, listen, don't have barriers at the point you refuse to talk to people. It makes no sense. Listen, if God was that way, listen, we sinned against the Holy God worse than any person sins against each other. He deserved to not talk to us. He deserved to say, fine, let you guys go to that hell. But no, praise God, because of his son, he let his son, because of his love for us, he let his son die on the cross for us. Thank God, God was not the way that we are to each other. And if I'm stepping on your toes, praise God, man. Some of you need to pick up the phone this Christmas and just call up someone, your brother, your loved one. At least say, Merry Christmas, I love you. Praise God, he wasn't like that to us. So be thankful that God wants to spend time with us to the point he let his son die on the cross for us so he could spend time with us. Relationship. Thank him for that often, if you would. And if you're saved, hopefully every single day you're thanking him for that salvation. It never gets old. Number four, kind of touching on what the third one was. I know that number four is a continuation of number three. Number four, a time to be thankful to God would be when he saves you. When he saves you. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, I read it once before, it says this Bible, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Friend, do you remember when you got saved? How old you were? Where were you at when you got saved? I remember I was talking to Miss Dorothy here. We were in the waiting room on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Mary's surgery. And we were talking there, and somehow salvation, I was trying to get on her sister Gay to get in church. Like, Gay, you got to come to church. We'll see you Sunday. I'll pick you up. And I get her in church. And Dorothy and I started talking about salvation and how she got saved at Uncle's house. Thank you. And the pastor came by and told me about Jesus Christ. And she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. Man, that was a great day when she trusted Christ. I'm not going to embarrass all you because you won't show up next Sunday. I'll have no church to preach to. But listen, hey, all of us have a testimony when you got saved. Do you remember where it was at? Remember what day of the month was that? Where were you at when you trusted Christ? It was April 1997, Hamden, Connecticut. There was still frost on my dorm room there in Quinnipiac University, and when I was a senior in college, almost graduating from college. Remember, I was down on my knees. It was one of those times where it was a bad time in my life. I knew I was a sinner. I understood I deserved hell for my sins, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. The best day of my life. Best day. Like I said in the previous point, make sure every day you should thank him for that salvation. You're going home one day. Going to heaven one day, praise God for it. And praise God for the new life you had once you got saved, but all began the day you got saved. You trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're in this room and you're not saved. Maybe you wonder, where am I going to spend eternity? Maybe you heard this before 1,000 times. You heard this preaching before. You probably could recite it better than I could. But you question, where am I going to spend eternity? Where am I going to go? Are you going to go to heaven when you die? If you don't know that for sure, listen, I can take a Bible, have someone take a Bible after church, open and show you how you can trust Christ as your Savior. Has nothing to do with Grace Baptist Church. Absolutely nothing to do with me. Everything to do with Jesus Christ. Everything. It's all about the cross. That'd be great, a great Thanksgiving and Christmas present you receive. You trust in Christ this holiday season. Number five. A time to be thankful to God, now listen now, would be when you suffer. a time to be thankful to God would be when you suffer. Take your Bible, if you will, go to Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 71. It says here, and this is what the Bible says, and I want to take this verse on purpose, because the point I gave you might not sit well with some folks. But Psalm 119, verse 71 says this: "It is good for me that I have been," everybody say the next word, "afflicted." See what that says? Look, some of us need to circle that. "That I might learn thy statutes." Friend, I'm not trying to, I don't have a death wish. I don't want to suffer just like the next person doesn't want to suffer. None of us like pain. But God said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Why? "That I may learn thy statutes." If you look back at your spiritual life, if you've been saved for any length of time, you'll most likely see that when the quickest growth came in your spiritual life was when you were going through a difficult time. I know this is a bad example. I forgot. I don't have it with me today. But picture this being a crutch, if you would. You ever break a foot or something? Usually what happens when you break a foot, you're putting all the weight on this crutch or this other foot. All the weight goes off of one foot onto the other. And the purpose of the crutch is when you have a crutch, when one leg is out of commission, you lean on that crutch. And listen, my friend, that's what God desires of us for Christians, to lean on Him. And sometimes, I'm not saying every time, I'm not God, I'm not saying dogmatically this is the reason every time you go through a difficult situation, but sometimes God makes you go through difficult situations because He wants to draw you closer to Him. Because you're too far away. I'm not saying every time. I'm not God. I can't tell you what time that is. But you know, there are times when God does that on purpose to draw you closer to Him. You're too far away from Him. And the thing is, listen, the problem is when here's the problem. Here's the danger. Say, "Pastor, you're telling me to thank Him for the trials that come in my life. You're telling me to thank Him for the troubles, the tribulations. Thank Him when money's tight in the bank. Thank Him when my health is not where it needs to be. Thank Him when my marriage is kind of going through a rocky situation, or things with my children are where they need to be. You're telling me I need to lift up my voice and thank Him?" That's exactly what I'm telling you, my friend. Here's a couple problems with that. Because if you don't thank Him, you get bitter. You get bitter. You get angry. You start shaking your fist at God. Look, it's when you need, listen, when you're going through difficult situations, that's when you doubly need to go to God. For that exact reason, because you might get bitter. Hebrews 12:15, it talks about bitterness. Go to Hebrews 12:15 if you would. Hebrews 12:15 if you would. It's in the back, towards the back of the Bible, New Testament, before the book of James. Hebrews 12:15. Says this: "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." A lot of people that have an anger towards God, an anger towards each other, an anger towards church, anger towards spiritual things in general, because something happened in their life. A trying time, a tribulating time, a difficult situation. And instead of drawing closer to God, which what it was intended to do, they get angry at God. And they never fix it. They never fix it. They never fix the problem. They never get right with God. They never go to the altar and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I had a bad attitude towards You when I went through a time of cancer, or went through a time of financial situation, or went through a time of my relationship issues." They don't fix it, and they get angrier and angrier and more bitter, and they push away from God. I've seen it happen. A bitter person is not a fun person to be around, my friend. There are people who have the sweetest countenance, and bitterness will twist it and make them so sour, and so people just don't want to be around you because of the bitterness. You know, if you look at the commentary here in the pastor's bulletin, the college student, some of you might have read the commentary. I'll read part of it, and the note from the pastor here in the bulletin. It talks about these college students who couldn't get home for Thanksgiving holiday. And so they chose to take their, they had to stay on the campus. They chose to spend their actually Thanksgiving day together. They pooled their money, they bought all the turkey, the trimmings, had a good feast. And the second paragraph says this: when they were finished eating, someone suggested that they go around the room and mention something they were thankful for. They could have spent their time griping. I'll say it again. They could have spent their time griping and complaining about the different college responsibilities. In other words, the tests, the deadlines, the rules, and a host of other college-type complaints. However, they chose not to complain, but instead be thankful. After they went around the room one time, everyone mentioning what they were thankful for, they realized they had much more to give thanks for. So they went around the room several more times, mentioning things they were thankful for. Although these college students were stuck on the campus for Thanksgiving, they had one of the best Thanksgiving holidays that they could remember. Listen, they chose not to get bitter. Did you hear me, my friend? They chose not to. You have a choice. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I went through. Why did my neighbor not go through? I don't know why your neighbor didn't go through what you're going through. Pastor, why did I take this person home? Why did this person die? Why did this problem happen? I don't know. I'm not God. I can't answer it. But what I do know is you can choose. You can choose to go to God, to draw close to His Bible, to go to that place for strength. You can choose to get on your face and just lift your face and broken and say, Lord, please, I need your help. Cry out to Him, Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I need your help. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get bitter. I love you. And you can choose to not get bitter. Or you can choose to get bitter. Look, my friend, if you can blame the situation, but when all comes down to it, when it all boils down to this, you can blame the situation, but in the end, you chose to get bitter or not to. I know it's a tough pill for some to swallow. I know that. We have a choice to make. And so, in this point here, my fourth point, it's during those times of difficulty. Listen, during a time when you're going through the worst of the worst, you know what is one of the sweetest things you could say? God, I don't understand. Thank you. That was a turning point for me. Never wanted it, never wished on it, wouldn't wish it for anyone. When I was able to say, Lord, I don't understand, I will never want this. I'm in control, so I thank you for what you did. I don't understand why you did it, but I know you're working. I know Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Work all things together for good. I'm not a superhero. I'm not trying to claim to be one. But I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to get angry. I'm not doing it. I got 5 children. I don't want to see them have an angry dad. Who's cussing out God. What's going to happen to my children? Look, hey, I can spend hours on this message. Because bitterness, it plagues everyone. You come home from work, you're angry and bitter. What's going to happen to your children? Look, it's so easy to get angry at this world. There's so much nastiness and junk in this world. It's so easy to get angry at God. That's what people say. Just curse God and die. Job's wife said that. It takes a person of character. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. But it takes a person of character to say, Lord, I'm just refusing to get angry. I need your help. I need some supernatural help because my flesh is fighting me every step of the way in this. I don't want to live my life angry. There was a man, before I move on to my last point here. There was a man, some of you might have heard of Patch the Pirate. The man's name was Ron Hamilton. You know the story there, Ron Hamilton, and he actually tells it in one of his, I think it's Mr. Slippy Race, or one of his albums, how he got cancer. He went for a checkup, and the doctor found something inside his eye. They found out that it was cancer. And according to what he said in his testimony, I know he probably shortened it for the track there, but he said that when he went into surgery, when he came out of surgery, his eye was gone. He had a patch on his eye. I remember him telling, in the story, he told the boy he was talking to, and he said, I could have got bitter and angry, but I refused to. And he said, I refuse to get angry. I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to turn my heart against God. He said, I want to stay close to you, Lord. And the doctor put a patch on his eye and said, you look like a pirate. And Patch the Pirate was born. One of the great, I have tons of those. Their children's CDs are great. There's music and awesome for the kids. They're wonderful. They're children's Christian songs. I have tons of albums. You can borrow them. You have them. Here's a man who's, because of ministry, has helped so many kids, helped so many families, because he chose not to get bitter. Some of us, listen, this Thanksgiving, you got to go to God, or come to your altar here today, or go home to your house and get alone with him and say, Lord, I don't want bitter anymore. I don't want bitterness in my house. I don't want my life. I need your help. And one way to do that, stop bitterness, is just thank him. So again, ask God to help you to be thankful when you suffer, because God knows what's best for you. And last, I'm done. Last point I'm done this morning. Number 6, a time to be thankful to God would be all the time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, if you would. Ephesians 5 verse 20. It says this, giving thanks, yell that word back if you would, always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always. There is, I know this is a double negative, but there is never a time not to be thankful. Back about 19 years ago when I was in Bible college, no, actually I graduated in Bible college, my pastor, Pastor Bish, he challenged us the matter of being thankful. He said, some of you folks need to start a Thanksgiving journal. So 19 years ago, I did that. I found it. And I want to read you a couple excerpts. These were written. I dated them all. This was written on January 29, 2000, 19 years ago. I wrote this. I was not married yet. You can tell by this excerpt. It says this. I was living up in Wallingford, Connecticut. My brother Scott was living with me. We were bachelors, which is usually you starve to death when you're bachelors. It said, thank you for Mom coming up to Connecticut and bringing a lot of food. Most of all, I thank you for her and how fortunate I am to have a mom who loves me as much as I love her. We ate that day, praise the Lord. On February 8th, 2000, listen, it might sound silly, but we're supposed to give thanks for all things, right? Thank you for letting the change machine in the Southwind laundromat work for the $5 I put in there, so that I didn't have to go across town to get change. But that's still stupid. No, this will help you. I mean, it's 19 years ago. Someone's thinking, like, I wrote that. No one's going to see these. I mean, anyway, but look, hey, I'm not listening. And to my shame, I didn't continue with it. But listen, I'm telling you, start a Thanksgiving journal. There's so much to be thankful for. And we forget. I would totally forgot about that food. I forgot about the change machine if I didn't write it in here. When are we supposed to be thankful all the time, my friend? This coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. I challenge you before then, get out a piece of paper and begin writing down everything that God has given you and that you can be thankful for. The people he put in your life, the material things, the health, the job, the things he has done for you, on and on it goes. You'll find real fast, you'll fill both of those signs of paper up real fast. You'll have to grab a second piece of paper, a third piece of paper, a fourth piece of paper, and you keep filling and filling and filling. There is so much to be thankful for. So much. But folks, if we were honest with ourselves, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, if we would be honest and we would admit it, we don't thank God like we should. I just gave you five different times in this message when we should be thankful. When God heals you. When God delivers you out of trouble. When God desires to spend time with you. When God saves you. And yes, when God allows you to suffer. I know some might be big and some might be small, those things, but man, there is never not a time to give thanks to Him. But we don't do it like we should. Because if we're honest, just like that story about those 10 lepers, if we're honest, more often than we care to admit, we're like the 9. We don't come back and give them thanks like we should. Look, I'll be honest, I'm convicted in this message. Maybe some of you are in this room too. Be more thankful. I'm done this morning. Being thankful helps to keep things in perspective, to realize that what He's done for you, like sending Jesus Christ to die for you and me. Being thankful causes you to turn to God in salvation as you grow as a Christian, keep turning to Him. And finally, being thankful causes you to stay close to Him as you talk to Him and thank Him for what He's done for you. Being thankful is so healthy, and I believe is vital, vital, vital to the Christian life. This Thursday, I know it's only one day a year, but this Thursday, get alone and spend some time with Him, thanking Him for what He's done for you. But don't just do it on Thursday. Do it on Thursday, then Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday, and all the way around the calendar until next Thanksgiving of 2020. Be thankful. Make it a daily thing because it truly is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's be thankful, my friend. By the way, it's contagious. You have a thankful attitude, it makes you happy. It cheers you up. Let's be thankful. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. I mentioned the message about this matter of being thankful for our salvation. And again, as is my custom, I'm not going to call you out. I won't embarrass you, but all I ask for is your honesty. All I want. If you're in the stream and say, Pastor Munkowski, you mentioned about being saved. And I'll be honest with you, if I was to die today, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven. I like to think I'm going to go to heaven, but I can't tell you that for sure for a Bible reason. I'm not going to call you out. I won't embarrass you. I just want your honesty. If you're in the stream and say, Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure of that. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Please, just be honest. Anybody like that in this room? I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. God bless you. Maybe you say, Brother Munkowski, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know for sure for a Bible reason. Because there was a time and a place when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I understood I was a sinner deserving to go to hell for my sins. I realized only Jesus Christ and His blood could wash away my sins. I trusted Him as my personal Savior. I was born again. I'm saved. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand? Amen. All over the room. God bless you. Maybe you're in this room, you've been saved but not scripturally baptized. And Pastor Munkowski, I've been saved but not baptized after salvation by immersion, as the Bible indicates. If you've been saved but not baptized, would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that at all? I see one. I see a couple of few hands. To see you get baptized. Actually, we have a new baptistry ordered. They'll be here in a couple weeks. See you get baptized. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and have been thinking about joining Grace Baptist Church. Hey, Pastor, I'm thinking about joining the church. If that's your desire, come talk to me after the service. If you haven't talked to me yet about that, see if it's God's will for you to join this church. Let me ask you, friend, last question before we have the piano play. Are we thankful? Look, if you were to think, just think in your mind all the things that God has done for us, are we quick to give Him thanks, or we kind of forget, or take it for granted, or even thank someone else, but don't thank Him? God orchestrated all those people the medicine and doctors for your benefit. Are we thankful? This Thanksgiving holiday is a great time to put that into practice. Give thanks. I'm going to have a word of prayer. When I say amen, I'll have you all stand. The music is going to play. If God spoke to your heart, I encourage you, come use this altar. You're not putting on a show when you come use this invitation altar. You're coming to God. You're spending time with Him. You want to come to the altar to thank Him. There's something you put on your heart that you want to bring to His attention. Don't leave this church until you settle what God put on your heart. Deal with it if you would. Father, we love you and thank you now. I thank you for God's people. Thank you for those who raise their hand for salvation. I think of those who need to be baptized. I pray they would be honest and go forward in believer's baptism. We understand baptism never takes you to heaven. Nothing more than a picture of salvation is all it is. But it's being obedient to your precious word. You always bless obedience. I pray you'd help these folks who are thinking of joining the church. I pray you give them wisdom in that as well. And Lord, I pray for this matter of being thankful. I thank you for the Thanksgiving holiday. I pray, though, that Thanksgiving would not be a one day a year. I pray it would be a every single day a year thing. 365 days a year. I pray help us be thankful people. I understand there's so much to be thankful for. Bless the invitation. Be with God's people this morning. We love you and thank you. Now, all else we ask in your name, amen. Would you stand, and if you would, as the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, you use the altar.